Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Double Cleanse podcast, a podcast with me, James Welsh.
And me, Robert Welsh. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This podcast is all about being influencers, beauty, makeup, skincare, and just the world of, I guess, cosmetics.
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 You okay? Yeah, talking about cosmetics, yesterday when me and James went to London and we were recording like in a proper studio, proper cameras, there were more than one camera, lights, yeah. And I tried to say analytics and I said analytics.
Do you remember? In front of some children.
In front of children and like professionals.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I said analytics.
Yeah, and then I wore trousers that were two sizes too big for me, which I poured peanut sauce down by accident because we went into a Thai restaurant thinking it was a cafe.
It looked like a cafe from the outside.
Do you know what it was? It was the coloured wood that they used.
Cafes have certain colour wood. Yeah, no, you're right.
Like a slightly darker beach.
Yeah.
Beachy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought their logo was like the wording of their restaurant was meant to be like a coffee cup. The top bit looked like a coffee cup incorporated into the name. But it was just a fancy E or whatever it was.
The font was, what's the word?
Unintelligible.
Analytics. Misleading, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, misleading font. You've gone very quiet for some reason.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just on my AirPods.
You're just being you.
I'm just being me.
Okay, maybe speak with more confidence.
Okay.
Listen, what have you been? How was your holidays?
Oh, I had a lovely holiday, people. It was really, really nice. Really nice. I didn't work the whole week.
Which
is what you would expect on holiday. But, you know, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Say.
I didn't. So.
Say.
And you know what? There was buffet food, but it wasn't like unhealthy buffet. It was like healthy buffet. You know,
what, like fruit.
Yeah, there was chicken. No, there was actually
fruit.
And it was all cooked like really nicely. It was like, you know, like it almost as if somebody had a nice meal, but they just took all the separate parts and put it in a buffet instead of like
different plates.
Yeah, instead of like, you know, Golden Corral, lasagna and pizza, which I still really like.
I still enjoy that.
Yeah, I would. But you know what? I was really disappointed with myself because I had one plate at the buffet.
Plate
and then dessert. I was like, why am I not handling this correctly? Why am I handling this buffet?
Yeah, why aren't you going back for five plates? Was the dessert like those usual kind of like really solidified gelatin cakes? You know, you get like the tiny little really hard gelatin. And they don't taste like anything. They literally just taste like gelatin and a bit of sugar.
It was very like, what's the word? Regional. In terms of dessert. So it's stuff I haven't really had before, but really nice. It was just dessert, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was an ice cream machine, and I think it was for kids. I was like, can I have some ice cream? And they're like, yeah. And they gave it to me in a bowl, and it was a kid's bowl. There was like a design on it, like a child's bowl. I was like, oh,
like clowns
you.
And shit on
it. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is definitely for children.
Do you remember the ice cream machine at Pizza Hut?
Yes. Oh my God.
Is that still a thing?
It was unlimited. I don't know.
Oh
how was
God,
I think
it was so
have
good.
We heard about your stay at Soho House since you came back? I don't think we've spoken about it.
Oh my fucking God. So I went to Soho Farmhouse, which I love. I absolutely love it there. But we had a bit of a nightmare because we were put in one of the cabins, which is one of the larger ones. It has a really nice separate living room and bathroom. Mm. And they all have separate bathrooms. But I get their thing is like, you know, like wilderness, like you're on a farm. But the place was so overgrown and it was the only cabin that wasn't on a lake. And we were right next to like where the gym and the restaurants were. And they were blasting music all day. No. And I literally phoned, listen, I'm paying money for this. And this was the only time I've ever complained or I didn't really kick off, but I phoned the people, reception. I was like, I'm really sorry, but I'm here for a relaxing weekend. All I can hear is music coming from, like, you know, the restaurant. There's people walking back and forth. Our garden's overgrown. We had to, like, climb through bushes. We didn't have to. We just had to, like, step on a few branches to get to our front door. But they actually... So they moved us to a cabin, which was a little bit smaller. Obviously, we got the right price for it. But I actually preferred it. Had air conditioning. We had a really private balcony. It was really nice.
Lovely. Yeah. I mean, you would think they would have some kind of maintenance team.
Well, we walked past it later and they trimmed it all. But the whole, like, since I went back, like, the whole thing was, like, slightly overgrown. But I think they're trying to make it look a bit, like, natural, but it just didn't quite sit right.
Yeah, but even people who actually own farms keep their farms in good shape. Yeah. You know? Oh, sorry, I just hit the table.
And we have really bad hay fever, and it just wasn't, like, what I wanted it to be.
Do you know where you should go next time? Travelodge. Holiday Inn.
Travelodge. Premier Inn.
Yeah. On
a lake.
Best pillows in the world.
Didn't you get them? Didn't you, like, go out your way to buy?
I went out specifically. Was it Holiday Inn or Travel Lodge or Premier Inn or Travel
Premier Inn?
Or Holiday Lodge.
Holiday Tree.
The purple one with a moon. They were selling their pillows and they sold out. There's nothing more comfortable than like hotel bedding. That hotel mattress topper, I keep meaning to like peel back the sheets and look at the brand.
Oh,
and then
God,
like
shit.
A good pillow. Perfect. Perfection. Mm-hmm. And then I managed to track down the ones I have in Disney hotels. But you need a very specific pillowcase. It's all too much, James.
Robert!
It's all too much.
Robert, is there anything you've been loving this week?
James, no.
Since you've been on holiday?
James, no.
Maybe your holiday?
Can we talk about a product I was disappointed in, actually?
Yeah, of course you can.
So listen, I really like Supergoop, right? I really like their sun creams. But yeah. I use their Glow Screen for the face. Mm. And they released one that was a little bit deeper in color, which I didn't realize, and it wasn't it looked nice on the face. When I went outside, my partner was like, oh, there's like lines on your face, like all around your beard and around your hair. And I was like, oh, I thought it's just like a sheen, but it had like proper like bronze in it, so we had to go back and wash it off. Then I tried their body one and there was like glitter in it, whereas so their normal like face Glow Screen is like a pearlescent glow, really beautiful, really nice. The body one will shimmer. And I was like, oh, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
Luckily, Jackie Einer, bless her, I put on Twitter, I was like, okay, what gives this look? And I compared it to like MAC Strobe Cream, which is like that pearlescent glow. And she told me about the Dermalogica one, which looks not as intense, but it has a really nice sheen to it. So I got that one, exactly what I wanted. I just wanted to have like a reflective glow. And it was like the Dermalogica. Oh, maybe that could be the one, my good product then. The Dermalogica. I don't know, sunscreen. It's the one with like the... Right. Is it holographic? I don't know. If
Iridescent.
Iridescent. I don't know. Like lids, you know? Really, really nice. Really subtle on the skin.
That's the thing. I hate when like products say that they give you a glow when really they've just got mica in it.
It's not
so annoying.
A glow isn't glitter. That's a shimmer.
Yeah.
A glow is like pearlescent pearls.
Pearls.
Can I just partake in some water very quickly?
Yeah.
It's watermelon flavour. It's lovely. James, listen, talking about partaking in water, is there anything you've been loving this week?
Yes, speaking of water, the Fenty Skin Cherry Treat Conditioning Lip Oil has been lovely for me.
Oh my God, I just salivated looking at that. That looks so good.
Does it look good?
I've never seen this. Like, I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
it's
beautiful.
Not like an oil. When you know when you say oil, people are like, oh, it's an oil. It's not. It's like that's a bit typical, like
it's
between
more like
balm.
Gloss texture, right?
Yeah, it's like a slightly glossy, like melted lip balm kind of consistency.
Nice.
You know the lip balms you squeeze out of a tube, it's kind of very Laneige-y. But what it's really good at is lasting a long time on the lips. Like I can apply it in the morning, and by lunch, even drinking everything, it's still on my lips, and my lips feel really, really protected. I do like... Right, here's the thing is, I don't like tackiness, but I also do. Their Cookies and Clean clay mask for me was a little bit too tacky for my liking. I was like, that's not really the right thing. But I love a cherry scent and a cherry flavor, like artificial.
Yeah.
But it's also got cherry in there as well, which has some antioxidant properties. But I'm really enjoying that as like a nighttime and like a first thing in the morning kind of lip treatment.
It looks really beautiful.
Yeah. From where I was sick for like 2 weeks, my lips went really pale and dry. They looked like I'd been throwing up and eating soup when really I'd just been eating soup. And honestly, that... And the Road, actually, one of their lip balms have really rescued them. So
very nice and kind.
Yeah, Robert, listen, we're about to get all types of Y2K millennium. But before we get into it, let's take a break for an advert.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the future.
You've just stepped forward 20 years.
20 years. The year is 2023. And listen, today when we were discussing video ideas, this is something I wanted
podcast ideas.
This is something that I will be doing a video on later in the future because there's a lot more to it. But I really want to discuss the basics of virtual influencers. Now, when we were talking about this, you were like, "I don't know what that is."
I was like, "James, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is." So I thought what we'd do is I'd speak to you about what they are. We can discuss how you feel as an influencer and consumer about the state of virtual influencers.
Okay.
Right. So what, Robert, put your hand up.
Yeah.
What do you think a virtual influencer is, Robert?
So I'm assuming it's like the movie Simone, where that guy invented that, like, it's a fake actress and it's all CGI. She doesn't actually exist, but it's all done by computers. So I'm assuming it's like that.
That's exactly that. So by definition, virtual influencers or CGI influencers are computer generated people with a purpose to try and look as realistic as possible and also have the same kind of talk, personalities as a person. But usually they're all captured through just pictures, right? So Instagram posts, the occasional video nowadays, but you never really hear them talk. They're always on Instagram posing with friends in quotations, you know, at certain events in so many different kinds of locations. So the idea is that we are not meant to know that they're virtual. These are people who are meant to live normal lives. So behind each kind of like virtual influencer, you often have like huge teams of people because these are people who are wanting to make influencer money, doing it as a business, right? Yeah. So we have people who decide obviously what they look like, everything down to their clothes, their makeup, their living spaces, their friends, the backdrops, landscapes or cityscapes. And that can change depending on the job that they've been hired to do or, you know, whatever clothes they're posing and stuff. Sometimes they're in space for some reason.
Why wouldn't you be in space?
You can do what you want. But basically, brands are starting to use them more and more because they keep popping up everywhere. Like, virtual influencers seem to be the thing that brands want to do. So when I say brands, some brands launch their own virtual influencer to represent the brand, while there are other companies that can, you know, launch them and, as I said, act as an influencer. You know, most influencers have their niche, right? Fashion, makeup, food, whatever. Virtual influencers can do anything and be everything. They can know how to cook. They can know how to do makeup. They can know how to play games, you know, because they're literally just a customizable influencer. They're literally a mannequin. The vast majority of virtual influencers have become really, really popular. A lot of them have over a million followers on Instagram.
I've never seen one.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about some. And if you do want to see pictures of the ones we're talking about today, they'll be on our Instagram at Double Cleanse Podcast. Is that what it is?
You'll see it.
You'll see it. So brands like KFC launched their own virtual Colonel. So then he advertised brands like Dr. Pepper and Old Spice, whilst the car brand Renault created their own called Liv. Just Liv. And in my opinion, was done on a bit of a budget. It looks like DreamWorks for adults. Like, it's a very unnerving. No. This is a
like
thing with
fake
virtual
Disney
influences.
Film. Snow Princess kind of energy.
Yeah, but kind of trying to be real. It's kind of like that uncanny valley where it's like something's a little bit, something's a little bit uncomfortable. But some of the most popular virtual influencers, I'm sure if you saw her, you would have probably seen her, is called Lil Miquela.
Let me do this.
Have a look at Lil Miquela.
Oh, verified and everything. Million.
She's got 3 million followers, and she's probably actually the original virtual influencer.
Oh my god, what did I see her in?
This is what I mean. You've seen her
really
in something
popular. It's terrifying.
Well, she's worked with brands like Samsung and Calvin Klein. I think she actually posed with not Bella Hadid. What's the other one?
The other one.
One of the Hadid sisters.
Courtney Hadid. No, I don't know.
Courtney Hadid. Kim Hadid, which we'll talk about later because there's a bit of a controversy there. But, you know, she's actually even released her own music. So she's a singer as well now. Jesus. The next one is Shudu. If you have a quick look at her. S-H-U-D-U. And she's got 200... I think so. Like a black influencer? 233,000 followers. She became popular after Fenty Beauty actually reposted one of her pictures, not realizing that she wasn't a real person.
She looks incredibly real.
She looks so real. So real, actually. She's an official Balmain ambassador, literally being superimposed onto red carpets and like fashion events with celebrities.
Oh my god, she's stunning.
Yeah. And she's actually part of a virtual influencer modeling agency called The Digitals, with only 7 models so far, actually. So including Shudu, there's a model called Dagny, Bren, Kofi, Jay Young, Boyce, and an alien type model called Galaxia.
Kofi Graham isn't real either.
Mm-hmm. No.
This is crazy. Oh my god, I can't believe it. Like, I'm looking at it, the skin looks... Like, one looks more real than that first one. Yes. The first one you told me looks cartoony. It looks almost like, okay, she looks like she could be a character from a game. Whereas this girl looks real. Like,
she looks like
looks
a
real.
Proper high-end model, right?
Model, exactly.
Yeah. The first time I saw her, I was like, oh my god, she's stunning. Like, she's incredible. But she's worked with brands like Vogue. She's been in Vogue, she's been in Elle, she's been in Cosmopolitan. You know, she is like a popular model.
You wouldn't know that was a virtual, someone who doesn't actually even exist. Who created her?
Oh god, I can't remember. I did look it up and then I thought, that's not interesting. but as I said, there's this modeling agency, right? And it all looks very diverse. It's probably one of the most diverse modeling agencies I've ever seen with no one who's real. But this is, I think, a little bit of an issue, which we'll talk about later.
Well, this is why I'm wondering who invented this person, because whoever's getting paid, I hope it's another black person, because if a white person is getting paid for the job that a black model could have done, then that's an issue. That's
We'll come on to this. Let me finish my diagnoses.
Okay, let me just water. Carry on.
Have you thought about getting a cap or a straw?
Continue, please.
So, what brands actually work with these virtual influencers? We've already talked about things like cars, fashion magazines, which, you know, is fine. But we also have brands like Coca-Cola. And then we have cosmetics. So, we have Way Hair stuff. Is it Way? We have Essence Cosmetics and Dermalogica, as well as KKW Beauty when they were in their prime. Dermalogica actually use their virtual influencer to educate. What I find interesting about Dermalogica's one is they're able to recreate skin conditions and texture, all that kind of stuff. And their one's quite interesting because it's not kind of out to the public. It's just to educate their staff. And they're also racially ambiguous. You look at this person, you don't know, you know, where they're from or what race they are. So it's a really interesting kind of in-house kind of thing that they do. I find very, very interesting. So
that interesting because you could, as a brand that's a skincare brand, you could just claim, you can make any skin situation, any skin type.
Mm-hmm.
So you're literally inventing and creating the results of this product. So I could release a skincare product like, this will turn your skin blue. And because I can literally create it, I can literally make it happen. It's real. You can make, and as well, like, surely, like, makeup, these virtual models are going to be wearing virtual makeup, so therefore it's not really the makeup in any way.
Robert, we'll come
same
to that
color, same created
Robert,
thing.
Hold that thought.
James, hold that thought. Okay.
Hold that thought. So let's talk about the pros and cons then, seeing as you're so eager to jump ahead.
I'm outraged and fascinated at the same time.
So, the pros of the virtual influencers really, in my opinion, only fall in the brand's favor, right? They're cheaper to hire. They're easier to fulfill a brief because, you know, as an influencer, right, you get a brief, you do it, you send a video back. There might be some corrections you have to make. It takes more time. It takes another day of editing. You know, there's a little bit of back and forth. Whereas with a virtual influencer, it's a few clicks of a button. I know that's not how animation works, but it's very easy to change and less time, right? And then you can make a next to perfect campaign image or video. And these brands also get access to models of all skin tones, colors, nationalities, races, or as we said earlier, in some cases, racially ambiguous models. But to me, that is as good as it gets, in quotation. So let's go on to the cons and we could kind of talk about the whole situation. So one thing that kind of irks me and sticks out to me the most is almost the fake inclusivity that comes from these virtual influencers, right? I don't think the answer to creating inclusive adverts for people of all skin colors is just using a darker skinned virtual influencer.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, there are so many real life black models or models of color who actually need work and representation as well. And I think it's very easy and almost like an easy escape for brands to be like, let's work with this black virtual influencer, show our inclusivity, when really they've not hired someone who actually could
and
really
could
benefit
have, they
from
could
the
have
work.
Done the business with a white man, you know what I mean, or a white woman. It's a bit like
you're benefiting off inclusivity.
And it's like, as much as, like, you know, like, it's an art, it's a very arty thing, and these models look amazing. And the thing is with models, high fashion models, is they do always have this unusual look to them that comes across really, like, that's where their beauty is. You know, you don't always get a typical person who's like, oh, you could be a model just because they're really pretty.
Models,
they
just
always have something slightly
people.
They always have something slightly odd about them. And I think that's when you look at them, they're like, okay, they're really pretty, but something's not quite right, but they're really, really beautiful, and that's what makes them a model, you know. Not quite right, but something's not the
they have
same.
To be striking rather than just
there has to be something that really grabs your attention. And you can literally create that If I educate myself and I could create it, I could create a black model or an indigenous model and be like, hi, I have these two models if you need inclusivity.
Yeah.
And it's like, you would just be benefiting from that. Yeah. And I would be getting the money. I don't like this.
So that's also for me where the diversity stops. When you look at these models, you look at that virtual influencer modeling agency and it looks diverse, right? So for me, that's where the diversity stops, right? When you look at these virtual influencers, when you look at the agency, they are all well-toned, slim people, you know, attractive people. There's no variation of body sizes, skin textures. They're very good at creating skin texture as in pores, but you don't see any kind of like texture of the skin or real, you know, skin issues in quotations that people suffer from. In fact, if you are an alien, you are better represented from these virtual influencers than a plus size model or somebody who you know, feels their plus size, for example. But we also have an issue when it comes to reliability, which we were talking about earlier, and accuracy of the product reviews and representation when it comes to the beauty products, right? So like you said, these brands, instead of showing how the makeup, for example, actually works, however the hair care works, the skincare really works and looks on real people, they're able to fake results and make their product pay off the exact way they want it to. Do you know what I mean? So like, instead of being like, this is a red tone and it's going to work on all skin types and colors and all lip tones, they can make that happen on a virtual influencer. Whereas in real life, it might not work for everyone.
You could argue as well, though, that you've used makeup on a model and then it's been in post-production as well. And it is slightly altered. So I guess there's not too much change there. But when it comes to texture and finish, I guess there's not too much change there either, is there?
Because the skin's the whole point of an influencer, though, is to see what it looks like on real skin. Right. Real people,
And you know, like just everyday people. Say their experience of it. How are you going to make up, you know, a virtual influencer's thing?
It's like when brands do fake swatches, like CGI swatches. Like, it's not real. And like you were saying earlier, skincare. How can someone who actually doesn't have skin and doesn't even exist talk about skincare in a way that
it's
is real?
Crazy.
They can't. And this is where we get into legal issues. So this is from... I think it's Truth in Advertising. They say that the term virtual influencer at the moment does not actually appear in the FTC's endorsement guides,
which the agency
which the agency uses to tackle deceptive influencer marketing, ranging from undisclosed adverts to the promotion of products the influencer doesn't actually use, amongst other things. Virtual influencers, of course, do not actually use anything they're advertising because they don't exist, right? So last year, in a statement to the New York Times, the FTC acknowledged that it hasn't yet specifically addressed the use of virtual influencers. The good news is that the guides, which were first enacted in 1980 and updated in 2009, are up for review, meaning that as part of the review process, truthinadvertising.org has submitted a comment to the agency suggesting several updates and additions, including that the FTC confront this latest trend in social media endorsements. So... that's exactly what we're saying, that there's no rules. It's not even the rules of being an influencer because, again, they aren't influencers. They don't exist, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to look at their website. I can't believe it. They have like you said, diversity, but it's fake diversity. I can't believe these people. They just look so real. This one, the digitals.com is the agency and they just look incredibly real.
Yeah. And then you have the alien.
Crazy.
Although one thing I will say that when it comes to the diversity and working with models, I think one brand who did it really well is actually Manny Emuwe's Luna Beauty, because this was during lockdown.
I was gonna say, because there was I was gonna add, I think it's a really fun idea for a campaign. For one time, you know what I mean? But if it was to be a whole thing, I think it's when you make the digital person the advertiser and the celebrity and the thing, it gets a little bit questionable.
Yeah, but this is the thing, it's like, that was purely done because it was lockdown and to be responsible as a brand but still have inclusivity in their adverts, they use these virtual influencers.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise until, well, they weren't even influencers, they were just models. And from a brand who constantly uses people's skin tones, textures, sizes, you know, it's, you know, it's forgiven, you know, it's not really, it doesn't really seem like an issue because it was done in the best interest of everyone at the time.
Yeah.
But like you said, if a brand was to use like the odd one here and there, and it was like, you know, like part of the
it's
whole
fun.
Brand.
Because it is in general, it's a really fun, really like, oh, that's so crazy idea. Yeah. And you know, I kind of see it for clothing and maybe shoes, or maybe you want to do something that's like, you know, exciting.
Sunglasses.
Even if it was maybe even more cartoony, it would make a little bit more sense. But I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's somebody. Oh, it's confusing. Because at the same time, from a like, that's incredible kind of point of view, from an artistic point of view, it's like, oh, have fun. But when, you know, you think about it, it's like, oh, shit, there's some issues.
There's so many issues. It's taking away, like, jobs from actual models.
Yeah.
You know, who we know struggle as it is. Like, whatever stage you are, whatever you look like, you struggle as a model to get jobs anyway. It's very competitive. And like, you know, the top models will always be safe because people want to see them. They're a celebrity.
Of course.
They want to see them and things.
Yeah.
So very much like average everyday influencers, some of these virtual influencers have somehow come into controversies. So we were talking earlier on about...
Wait, like drama?
Drama.
No.
So,
what?
Yes. Right. So we were talking earlier about Bella Hadid, that's it, and the influencer Lil Malik Mekwela modeling for Calvin Klein. In this advert, Bella Hadid and Lil Mekwela actually kiss. They make out. So Calvin Klein was called out for queer baiting. So this is someone who... like just the model kissing a fake influencer and they're like, inclusivity, lesbians. Right. So Bella Hadid, who does identify as heterosexual. So they were called out for queer baiting. But what it gets worse with this Lil Mekwela. In 2019, she posted a vlog that described herself being a victim of sexual assault in a rideshare.
See, this is a really grey area to go into because it's important that people... talk about their experiences if they're comfortable doing so and want to help other people, to make people know, you know, they're not alone and to have people come forward and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it happens a lot, especially in rideshares, Ubers, things like that. But it's really, again, the person behind it would have had to come up with this story. So why not put in a situation where maybe... you're using your platform to share someone else's story. Don't make up a story. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. I think it's done to make
don't make yourself do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Yeah.
It doesn't even seem like it was for anything in particular. It looked like it was supposed to be, like, her vlogging, almost like a story time, making up this very real-life scenario in order to try and make her more relatable. And that's like you were saying, like...
That's terrible.
I have the most respect for ladies who go online, actually share their stories, or men or whoever experienced this goes online and shares their stories and sharing it to raise awareness for it. But when there's a company behind a not real person pretending that this happened with no leads to anything, or, you know, not raising awareness for somebody else who is raising, a real person who's raising awareness, what's the point?
And you know what? It kind of... A lot of people who have these experiences and talk about them will always be met with, oh, you're lying, that didn't happen kind of thing. Because I don't know why people are so fucking shit and can't believe that happens to people. And then yet you have this example of literally that did not happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's not really an area they should go into. If they were going to do something like that, they should say, hi, I'm what's her name? We're talking to these people. And then have real people, if they wanted to do something, share their experiences, raise money, do something. That's so dumb. That's like me inventing a character just on The Sims, right? And going, my Sim experienced this rideshare. No, that's like, and then what? Now what? You know? I don't know that experience myself. Unless there's somebody in the team who created that person and... that's their, like, I don't know. I can't even excuse. I don't even know.
Yeah. So here's another one about Shudu, the extremely realistic black model we were talking about, who has been described as a white man's digital projection of real-life black womanhood. The man behind creating Shudu, who he actually created in his garden shed, he said, is Cameron James Wilson, from what I can find is a white male.
See, that's it.
But not only that, he's actually behind the modeling agency of virtual influencers that we discussed earlier. And we have one white woman on there.
There is... What was it called again? The Digitals, isn't it?
The Digitals.
So there's a whole section for their models. So they have Shudu, which is a black model. They have Dangy, which is... I'm not sure. I don't know if she's meant to be white.
Well, this is the thing, though.
Jae Young, who is Korean. Bren, who is black. Kofi, who's black. Boyce, who... and then Galaxia, which is like this alien-looking person. So there is one... a white-looking person, kind of, and she can look. She looks a bit like maybe she could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he. So what has done is made these models that are like these stunning, like, you know, people of all races, and then they're not even real, and he's getting paid for the work.
Yeah, that they do.
Paid for the image. Though Cosmopolitan have
done... And this is the thing, is it's different, right? Behind a white person who runs an agency and has real models of all ethnicities and colours.
Because the models actually physically
get
money.
Benefit from
not
it.
Not as much, unfortunately, but they will benefit from it. And then... Oh, I just moved my microphone, sorry. God.
I just want to read this bit because Truth in Advertising kind of sum up perfectly what we're trying to say.
Okay.
When it comes to them in general, is that because virtual influencers do not have opinions, beliefs, or real life experiences and cannot generally be genuine users of products and services they promote, the guide should address the type of disclosure necessary for these virtual influencers if they are permitted to ignore the principles established in the guidelines. And what they're saying is the issue arises frequently when virtual influencers promote products that are meant to impact or change a human's appearance, such as application of makeup and skincare. So this is my issue. Like you said, I really think they're interesting. I think it's a really interesting thing to do. And I feel like this would make me more comfortable if real models had their own virtual, to be like virtual kind of like copycats where, you know, they get a bit of the cut and, you know, they can go out and do whatever. But there's so much behind it. Other than just like, oh my God, that person looks real and they're applying lipstick. You know, there's so much more to think about when it comes to everything you'd expect from an influencer and everything that influencers are put through in order to make genuine legal content, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so that's what a virtual influencer is. Habit.
I was just looking at the website and I was just trying to figure out, does money go to someone? There is a section on their website called Muses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like each model has a real life muse.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, if they get paid, then this just...
No, I think they do movements for them that can be used in the future. So maybe they got a one-off payment, but from what we know, Shudu is the original made from, what's his face in his shed when he taught himself 3D animation based off no one. So more recently, looking on the website, Cameron James Wilson, who is the founder and CEO of the Digitals, has actually teamed up with, they just say here, the Down syndrome community to create a model called Kami, who has Down syndrome and is meant to just basically be a voice for the community. It doesn't look like she's based off anyone in particular. But again, to me, why would he not highlight a real lady of her age who has Down syndrome and put them at the forefront of campaigns?
Yeah.
Like, there are people working with these models. And I feel like the fact that they're like virtual, it's like, oh, that's so interesting, we'll do it. Like, it kind of adds something to them rather than just getting someone in to...
Yeah.
Actually model for them, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know what you think. There'll be a slideshow thing. So yeah, look out for that picture and let us know what you think about this. And whether you follow virtual influencers and if you follow them purely to look at as an art form, if you actually care what they think about product, let us know.
Do you even know you're following a virtual influencer? You might think it's a person.
Anyway, you can follow me, James_S_Welsh, and pretty much everything in James Welsh on YouTube for more skincare content.
And you can follow me, Robert Welsh, on YouTube, and Robert WLSH on Instagram, and Robert Welsh MUA on TikTok for makeup content.
And the Welsh Twins on YouTube. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.